Believe me, I really, really have come to the place where I want to be alone with Baba because I have so much activity during the course of the day and most people are not interested in Baba. So, and I've struggled very hard to do what Baba told us to do a long time ago, find him within. And I've had a small amount of success, so consequently I never really felt I needed to go anywhere unless Baba pulls me there. He pulled me to India last year, and I really didn't want to go through all of that. And I look at that kind of an attitude as suggesting, or I look at it in a self-disparaging way. You know, I don't want to put up with this inconvenience or that inconvenience, and I say even if I could go first class from here to Bombay, no one can afford to go from Bombay to Ahmednagar, because there's 18,000 people that you have to give money to between those two points. But I went because I really felt Baba pulling me, which just built up and built up and built up to the point where I knew unmistakably that I had to go to India. And I also knew unmistakably I had to bow my head down at his feet in the tomb. And the big surprise, every time I go, everything I do is an effort. But the big surprise was that when I got there, what I gained was the enormous impact of feeling Baba's universality. He was everywhere. He was doing everything. Normally, all of us perhaps think of him in a different way, far more subdued, far more restricted in terms of what he has said and where he went. And the incidence of our believing that he's God is not explored. Well, in India, I just had this enormous feeling of he was doing everything in creation. And so it was staggering, and it helped me to bring home something that I didn't have before. The thinking about Baba being God and all of that was more on the intellectual side. The intimacy and the confining of Baba to his physical body and that magnificent intimate presence, and feeling that same pull to go to Australia, I got another surprise, the enormous universality and power of Baba that I felt in India was balanced by what I felt in Australia, by the enormous, infinite compassion, that this enormous power would come down to the intimate presence of each lover. So that was a great gift and a reward, really, for going through the effort of going over there that I felt I needed to do. Haven't quite figured out what it is I'm getting here, but I'm sure it will dawn. Being around with so many unusual people, and well, I've had an opportunity to see the vast array of talent, and that was kind of an eye opener. We sometimes neglect to remember that these people live other lives as well as following this hopeless and helpless path. And I thought that Johnny Carson thing last night was absolutely hilarious. And I said, but then I had to pay the price. I had to come all the way back from that enjoyment, back to the straight and narrow again. And I said, these people don't want to hear all of this stuff. Baba's message is always, always, always the same. In this Advent, I feel I feel Baba gave us one message. And I feel it's the same message that he has given in previous Advents. This is the extent that I understand something. And that message is, remember me, obey me, love me, surrender to my will. And everything else that has any possible relevancy to the most and only message, the most important and only message, is relevant only because it must help you to do the one thing that Baba asks us to do. Because by applying ourselves to that, it becomes very possible to experience his presence with increasing constancy within ourselves. If you have to find Baba through someone else, you don't have Baba. If you have to go to India to find Baba, you don't have Baba. If you have to listen to me make a talk, you don't have Baba. What all of us need is to have constant reminders of Baba so that we do the work that will give us Baba. If you're not applying, and I am not applying, the message that Baba says is the only message, we won't find him. And that's a great loss. It's a great pity. It's marvelous to read a book, or it's marvelous to read a book about an enormously great character that we find so attractive and somehow lifts our spirits. And somehow, for a brief moment, through that dramatization, we feel uplifted. It's another thing to be that character. Baba's reason for existence in our illusory world, reason for his incredibly unbelievably difficult journey to this level of illusion, is to make us become what he already is. It is so impossible to find him within ourselves that he visits us and does, in fact, give us the supreme example that in time becomes so compelling that it actually lures our gaze and attention away from that which held it for millions of lifetimes. That's how indispensable his presence is. That's how impossibly difficult our work is to turn away from illusion and to turn to him as the reality. Remember me, obey me, love me, surrender to my will is the only message. Biographical stories about Baba help us to remember him, obey him, love him, surrender to his will. Compelling stories about his compassion, as you heard yesterday and on before, and will always hear, help to remember him, obey him, love him, surrender to his will. Intellectually, it's not too difficult to realize that it would be an absolute nightmare if we had to surrender to our will. And yet we continually do that. We continually do that. I find so much in life very tedious and very boring. And so for that reason, I have an enormous need to remember Baba and obey him, because he lifts me out of that boredom to some extent, to the extent I do the work. And he makes everything else much lighter. He makes everything else much more meaningful. He makes the most difficult kind of occupation lighter and more meaningful, because putting him first means you feel, if you do the work of putting him first, and that is our work, you begin to feel something. When you feel something, you react far less to the things that you don't like. That's been my experience. And since I had that experience, I've tried very hard to continue to feel him, because it's the only real pleasure I get out of living. Because when I feel him, I enjoy everything. When I don't feel him, I don't enjoy anything. I just go through the motions. I'm not as responsible. I don't even want to be responsible. So I have learned that all the difficulties that happen have become really great blessings, as Baba has said, because it's made it more necessary for me to do the real work that Baba has said many years ago. The things that are coming to life now with me, he said many years ago. I remember once something, I was driving Sarosh Irani down to, he was staying with me, I drove him down to the center. And one of the things that impressed me, because he had been with Baba, a very vigorous man, very active man, a very admirable man, I liked him very much. He said, and he was with Baba as a teenager, and he said, Henry, I can tell you one thing. Everything that Baba has said will happen. See, and I was hearing that statement from someone who had that experience of struggling as a teenager to live a very disciplined life, to do things that were perhaps very far from his normal inclinations because of the enormous amount of love that he felt from a particular individual. So I was hearing his statement in that light, and so it meant a great deal to me. But in fact, our own experience with Baba, this will happen to all of us. It happens with some of us a little sooner, some of us with a little later. And in terms of one lifetime, it's absolutely nothing. That time is of no duration whatsoever. But when you can make that kind of progress that enables you to focus on meaning, the totality of meaning, the purpose for your having been here, the cause of all of your desperation, if you can accomplish that in one lifetime, because it happens to be a very peculiar lifetime, called an avataric advent, then it's necessary that we have to do anything possible to wake up to that. I was in Baba's presence, and he said all sorts of very fine things about me. But what did it mean? I wasn't having that experience. I want the experience. If he said I was going to be a perfect master tomorrow, what about today? I'm feeling miserable today. So when Baba said, find me within, it struck a real bell. I could very easily envision that if I had everything the world could give me, including friends and good health even, I could see that would become very boring and very quick in a very short time. So when I began to feel Baba's presence more by struggling very hard to find him within the quietness of myself, by that I mean simply by finding the way to quiet my mind, and automatically he was there, then I really felt so fortunate. And I wanted to do that. And I said, I didn't feel I needed to go anywhere because that was always with me. Well, that's the same case with that's the same situation that applies to every single one of us in his family. We have the rarity of having been blessed by having been given the conviction. If you had traveled, instead of 8,400,000 lifetimes before you became a seeker, if you had traveled 16,800,000 lifetimes, it would have been the same. None of that effort that you made, which meant walking away from illusion, would have amounted to anything in the sense that you're not entitled to be given the gift of conviction. That's his love that does that. But he is impatient to give that gift at the moment that it will fructify, it will bear fruit in fertile soil. We make the soil fertile. It's inevitable. Once you become a seeker, I feel, then your free will really takes on different meaning. The free will then becomes the free will to do the work more quickly. Remember Baba, obey Baba, love Baba, surrender to Baba's will. It does make a difference if something that is very unpleasant happens to each one of us, whether it's in our work or in our home life, whether it's a mere annoyance or a tragedy. It does make a difference whether or not you believe in the real God. It does make a difference. You will have pain in either situation, a great tragedy, not having conviction of the real God, a great tragedy, having conviction of the real God. You'll still feel pain in both instances, but there's an enormous difference between the two. I always think of the words of Shakespeare, sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like a toad, ugly and venomous, wears yet a precious jewel in its head. Agony when you're already convinced about the meaning in life and you have a relationship with it. Agony only causes you to grow. your awareness to increase, the effort to dwell on the inner resource of God Himself becomes so necessary. Anything that makes you think about Baba is a good thing. That's about the simplicity that Baba is. We're the ones that are complicated. He's very simple. That complication is not an easy thing to disburden yourself of. And the reason for that is, as Baba has explained, very clearly the ego is hydra-headed, sever one, three appear. The ego simply means I am very much alone because I identify so totally with my physical existence. I am very vulnerable. I don't want that vulnerability. I want to escape from it. I can use drugs or whiskey or this or that. I've done all of these things, someone would say. I choose the whiskey. It's incredible how handsome people become with a couple of shots. It's incredible the profound meaning I find in the most boring statements after a couple of shots. It opens up my inner eye. Yeah. And also it's still legal. But I know that I don't want to depend on anything. Besides, I can't take but so much whiskey, it makes me sick. Besides, it tastes horrible.
What are you drinking?
What I'm drinking is wine is fine, but liquor is quicker. Yeah. So you know, I know that after you go through a day. And you really want to not see anybody else, and you want to just remove yourself from any kind of activity and all the superficiality that's been relentlessly bombarding you throughout the day, you want to find something better. Well, it's so easy to take a drink. And then, you know, you have that quick mood change. And of course, that's the same thing we've been doing for the 8,400,000 lifetimes to get to the place where we become seekers. So your conscience, which is really Baba, is telling you, come on, do the work. And so the effort has to be made with each one of us. The effort has to be to remember Baba at those times, And the remembering of Baba at those times makes it more likely that you're going to obey him. Obedience is simply following what you know is your conscience. Being more responsible, being more intelligent, using what little intelligence or what great intelligence you have. The real intelligence is wisdom. And that happens when the heart is felt. The heart is always there, but it's like loud music. If you're listening to the music of the mind all the time, which is wanting this, wanting that, not wanting this, not wanting that, avoiding this, avoiding that, attracted to this, not attracted or attracted to that. That's the loud noise of the mind. Well, how are you going to hear the heart? By remembering Baba. See, Baba stands. Isn't it incredible that it takes God Himself, the Creator, and He says, with my help, it's possible. No, He says, actually, with my help, it's very possible. We do have the capital wisdom which intuitively makes us know through that endless, those endless lifetimes of being disillusioned with all the things we did run after, that there is no happiness in all these other avenues. Well, most people don't have the, most of the people in the world, if I'm to understand Baba correctly, do not have that enormous thing, an awareness of the God-man, the opportunity to focus on him, conviction that he is who he says he is. Most people in the world do not have that. So we really cannot point the finger of blame at anybody in this world. What did Baba say? And this is another statement that I find so meaningful to me. Do not waste your precious lifespan judging and criticizing your fellow man. What a waste of consciousness. There's so many different kinds of ways you can analyze that. The paradise is over here, and you persist, and there's 5 billion people out there. I've got to criticize each one. I've got to react to each one. I won't even do myself a favor and turn away if they cause me nothing but reaction. Paradise is right here, thinking of Him. Which means what? Quieting that mind. We all have the same problem. If you hear somebody very eloquent, that person goes away. If someone has been with Baba from the day one, inspires you, and he goes away, what about you? Where are you going? Are you going back to that relentless mind? Baba said the same thing to everybody. Those who lived with him, those who spent a lot of time with him, those who saw him for a moment, find me within. Look how empty. What patience the God-man must have when he knows even his close ones are not paying attention. You heard the stories that Bao told. Some of us were probably saying, how could they be that way? I mean, and the obvious things. I'm not talking about the difficult things. We have to summon up your courage and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's why you really have to live one moment at a time. You must not live one day at a time, to think nothing of longest expanses of time. That one moment is all you can carry. When you try to remember Baba in one moment, that's all you can handle. If you try to deal with only one negative thought, that's all you can handle. But that's all that you need to handle. We end, Baba said what? Something, maybe these are not the exact words. He said the spiritual path is really not that difficult. What is difficult is making up your mind to take it. You go on endlessly, postponing, because you don't think there's going to be anything to replace that whatever it is you desire and gives you a fleeting moment. Baba lovers must accept Baba's will by remaining positive at all times. I talked about this yesterday to some extent. My experience has taught me that when Baba tells us in his many different ways to be positive, to be cheerful, my understanding of his very persistent admonition to us is, I want you to be positive as often as you can, not negative. I want you to be cheerful, I want you to try to be cheerful as much as you can. But I want you to remember, it's imperative that you do it for me. Because if you're not doing it for Baba, if he's not the reason for this effort, then you're doing it for the ego. Dale Carnegie. And that's true. I have experienced that. Baba, the incredible thing about Baba is he is reason enough. Without Baba, all the results in the world aren't reason enough. You keep looking for more. He is reason enough. And when you're trying to do that, and Baba says, what is that endless list of things? Adele, you probably know it. All of you, many of you probably know it. Baba said, do this, 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 do this. And the last thing he says, and do not worry. No, the next thing he said was, and love me. That was the last thing after this whole list of things. And then what does he say at the end? But if you cannot, don't worry, because I love you. My God. I mean, he's a really decent person. Really neat. Really neat guy. So you have two reasons to do something. If you're being nice and cheerful and you're putting on that front for any reason than other, any other reason than that one whom you believed to be the God man, God in human form, if you are trying to be cheerful and positive for any other reason than for him, you are doing it for the ego. Just please keep that in mind. And see if you don't find, if you haven't already found it to be true, see if you don't find that it's true. Baba is the reality that you're searching for. Once I thought about it in a way, in 1958, 1958, Baba was in the barn at Myrtle Beach, and he gave this great talk about, you know, you go through so many lifetimes, then you disappear and your footprints remain. And he also did say this. He said, try to understand everything I have ever said. He also said then, holding up God speaks, how many understand this? And then, I don't know who said what, but Baba then said, I don't understand it myself. So the one thing, conviction makes us equal to double think. We can believe two inconsistent and contradictory terms at the same time. Because we have conviction that he knows what he's talking about, that's all that's necessary. With my little one-cylinder mind, all I need to do is turn my head to him. And that's a big enough effort. Because it means turning my mind away from everything I want. He says, Baba says, please come look at me. You have no idea how attractive I am. But at least put your eyes on me. You turn, you put your eyes on me, and you're really seeing over there still. What vacant eyes you have. He says, I look right through your eyes and I see the illusion that your mind is really looking at. So really remembering Baba means more than simply turning your head and saying, mechanically repeating his name. You bring your heart over. Bring your mind over. Well, actually, looking at Baba enough, even mechanically, pretty soon the emptiness of where your mind is by looking at him or by simply repeating his name, looking at his picture, reading the first paragraph of discourse, I don't know. It all does it. That will gradually, if you have a little bit of patience, will make you see how empty this is. That's all. So when Baba is saying, really, I am so pure, I'm so attractive, you've been searching me for me in the form of happiness, in the form of love, in the form of power, in the form of self-aggrandizement, in endless, endless illusory ways, which you... All those illusory byways, what you've really been searching for is me. Now you know about me, you believe in me. Do a little work. Keep your mind on me. Because if you don't, you're going to continue to suffer. I have never been the source of your suffering. It's your attachment to ignorance that's been the source of your suffering. I'm not ignorance. So anyway, Baba said, from what he described there, I was thinking about it, and I pictured the lifetimes that we live, having one lifetime after another lifetime, is simply a series of disillusionments. And I pictured that as sort of backing away from the gross world, or backing away from our severe addiction to the temporary pleasures of the gross world. That's what disillusionment does. Not this, that, you know, this is not reality. We know that from the many lifetimes we live. We're very advanced. Whether you know it or not, we're very advanced. I mean, I want to believe Baba, but he said it. Those who follow me, very few. So these lifetimes simply can be represented as from the experiences gained by living those lifetimes as rich, poor, beautiful, ugly, talented, untalented, male, female, and on in endless categories. All that boils down to is, that's not what I want. That's your wisdom. That's why you sought Baba. That's why he gave you his drop. So that can be represented as backing away from illusion. If you lived in the same bedroom from the day you were a child or baby, you may still have some of the same toys there. But if you're an adult, you go into that bedroom, you don't even see those toys. You're no longer interested in them. You're not attached to them. Think of it in that sense, perhaps. So we've backed away from the things that we thought would give us contentment and happiness. When we have backed away sufficiently, let's say 8,400,000 lifetimes as a human being, at that point, we've become so disillusioned that part of our mind is saying, well, I wonder what life is for. I wonder what the goal of life is. I wonder what the meaning of life is, however you want to put it. Basically, that's what happens to every one of us. At that point, from the beginning of your conscious existence, and I'm not including evolution, after that, human. From the beginning of your conscious existence, you've been facing this one direction, illusion. But The logic of that experience, Baba says, is to make you see that it's not what you want. With all of these different kinds of lifetimes you've experienced, not what you want. So when you've had that richness of experience, you get back here. And at that point, after that 8,400,000 lifetimes, God touches you on the shoulder. For the first time in 8,400,000 lifetimes, something has interceded in your conscious existence, which tells you that there is a different direction than that direction. And you want to know, who is it that touched you on the shoulder? Let's just use this one so I don't lose you. So you want to, that's saying, what is this life all about, touching you on the shoulder? At that point you turn to see who. This has never happened before in 8,400,000 lifetimes. You're turning to see who touched you on your shoulder. And as you turn, you traverse all of the six planes, and you turn around completely, and you see it was God that touched you on your shoulder. You come face to face with God. That's how I pictured it from what he said. Except we have a further advantage, I think, because Baba has appeared in a human form and presented to those who had eyes to see and ears to hear the most sublime of the most sublime life in a so-called human body, the most sublime. And we agree, and we hear things continuously here and there and everywhere that reawakens us to that honeymoon. And as Baba said in The Highest of the High, eventually everyone's going to get there. But what he said in The Highest of the High was addressed to those in his family. These are the things I want you to know now. Not eventually you'll get there. I want you to do it now. That's how I understand Baba's wish, as distinguished from Baba's will. I thought about that long and hard. Again, drawing from him. I find out that I'm in agreement with Baba about so many things. That's a very big help, and I'm sure all of you have felt the same way. And that's a great thing, because it tells me he's the one that said, I am your higher self. And apparently, if we do a little struggling, a little bit of that higher self comes through. And when it comes through, it's bound to be the same as his, the one we see outside ourselves. Total. All right. The wish and the will. The wish is that we do everything in our power at this very moment and each succeeding moment that becomes the present, to remember Baba, obey Baba, love Baba, surrender to Baba's will. That is what Baba's message is. And all the volumes afterwards was Baba saying, now let me explain what that means. And we're the ones, it's our confusion, our complicatedness, that has made all these explanations necessary. We persist, we are very willful, and sticking our hand in fire. We persist in banging our head against a stone wall, that is, looking for the pleasures in the relative world, because that's the only pleasure we know. So we bang our head against the stone wall and it hurts so much, we stop and go, oh wow, that feels good. And we stop. That's exactly what it means to persist in going for what you want rather than what you need. That's exactly what it amounts to. But it's just going to remain a very tantalizing idea unless you act on it. And how do you act on it? Remember, obey, love, surrender. It has to be done. The world, this horrible world, becomes a magnificent world because it's only through the horror of it that you see so clearly you want to leave it. It is not what you want. So without the difficulties that we face, without the pressures, there's no way you could find your own higher self. That's what Baba says. One day you will find I have always been your own higher self. Find me where I really exist within. There's so much that we're not aware of. In 1958, when Baba was leaving Myrtle Beach, the people really looked very depressed and down. Looked at, what's his name, Don Stevens, his face was gray. I said, "Don, didn't you shave this morning?" He always looks like he doesn't shave, but that particular morning. But everybody looked down. I didn't feel pleasant, but my nature was to struggle against anything that could take Baba away from me. Intellectually, I felt it was wrong. Intellectually, my heart wanted to believe him when he said, "I never leave you," even though I didn't have the experience that he was with me inside. I needed to believe him. So I kept struggling to find the way to experience what he said was true, because I believed what he said. And when I saw people being depressed, I was struggling to find the way to counteract that depression within myself. We go all the way to the airport in Wilmington, North Carolina, early in the morning, leaving that gate, West Gate. And that was Baba's gate. We left there. We went to Wilmington early in the morning. Baba's sitting at the base of a pillar, and there are about 50 rows of people around him. You can't even see him. So I said, "Well, I can't see him. I'm just going to go over and talk to Bill Duncan." So I was over there talking to him, and then it occurred to me, this is very foolish of me. I should be at least as close physically as I can to Baba, hear whatever Erich is saying about that. So I went over, and I just knelt down on the outside of the last circle, and I could hear Erich's voice, and that was whatever thoughts I had. And when I looked up, there was this sort of an aisle going straight to Baba, and no one was sitting in it. And I said, "My gee, that's not. I wonder why no one's sitting in that aisle." And then at that moment, Baba turned and gave me a kiss, blew me a kiss, and I just automatically assumed that the aisle was there, and that he just did that. I didn't realize there was no aisle there. There was no aisle there. So every once in a while, I suppose Baba gives a little nod to us when we maybe have struggled hard to find him inside, or struggled hard to do what we know we ought to do, and he gives that little nod. Don't expect it every time you're doing something you think you ought to do. He doesn't do it that way. It comes unexpected. That's been my experience. It comes unexpected. But that nod is there. But that's not what you're doing. You're not doing it for the nod. The nod is an encouragement, because we need all the help we can get. I've learned that too. What is all the help you can get? All the help you can get is God, and he's come down to a physical body. There is no more help than that. He said, what is that expression? You cared enough to send the very best? You cared enough to get the very best to kill them? I mean, really, that Hallmark card thing. Actually, yeah. Conviction means you already have the Nazar of the Master and do not have to be thrown from one extreme experience to another. And I deeply believe this. Conviction means this is where we are now. And I think it's very necessary for us to appreciate that enormous bank account we have in the real sense, and we're unaware of. We walk around like paupers. Conviction means you already have the Nazar of the Master and do not have to be thrown from one experience, one extreme experience to another. This means you are removed from the path of impersonal karma. 1958, Baba used his thumb. He said, went like this. He said, "Your karmic past is wiped clean. You are both under my divine thumb." Jokingly, afterwards, I said, I didn't say this to Baba. I jokingly tell people, I said, "Baba, you're pressing too hard." To face all responsibilities with joy is the only proof of your love for Baba. I said, "My God, I'm bankrupt." But I said, where can I go? If you're bankrupt, what are you going to do? You have nowhere to go but up. So if you conclude that I don't face responsibilities with joy, well, then get to work. Don't sit there dying a million deaths. Get to work. The spiritual path is not difficult. It's making up your mind that's difficult. If you assume, this was very important to me. What I'm reading to you is things that my own experience and struggles have sort of made me feel is clearly is what Bob is saying to me. If you assume the full responsibilities of your daily existence, you are living the new life. Pure and simple. That is, you do or don't do. You put Baba first, means the heart becomes quiet, means you all of a sudden you become a sage. Because the heart's speaking. There has never been any communication worthy of the name throughout the history of creation, except from heart to heart. The heart awakened can use a magnificent intellect as such an eloquent instrument. So sharpen your intellect. But never expect the intellect to have wisdom. Never expect the check or to be the bank deposit. The heart has to dictate the policy and the mind implement it. Baba is like water. The truth displaces nothing. Baba is the truth. Baba is like water. He fits everything. So consequently, putting Baba first is applicable to any person in any situation, but we must do it from moment to moment. Do not wait for the tidal wave to hit. Do it from moment to moment. Every moment that you can do it, you are doing the most worthwhile thing in creation. If creation came into existence to produce you, and you are a fully conscious being, that full consciousness is now to be used to get rid of its ego, to get rid of that which gave it birth, illusion, and now illumine itself, then this is the most important work in creation. It's not to make a battleship if you work for the Navy, or to build aircraft if you work for an aircraft company, or to run the United States if you happen to be president. These are very minor things. If you are a laborer, your work is just as valuable in the sense that there isn't a person on the face of the earth that does not have the opportunity to do the only important work in creation. Are you going to allow the fact that you didn't live with Baba for 25 years to deprive you of him? Are you going to do it? Be my guest. You're not going to do it, even if you said yes. You're not going to do it because you can't. You can't. You can't. You may dilly-dally for a while, and that's what we do, but sooner or later, you will develop what? The courage of your conviction. God speaks, and the explicit description of the journey as a sub-inert guess, I'm simply so slightly awakened from my beyond sleep. And on as a stone, I'm a little bit more awakened. As vegetation, I'm a little more awakened. And on, fish, bird, animal, human, I'm fully awakened. Still asleep in the sense of not experiencing reality. Then reincarnation, disillusionment, Where's mom? Where's dad? Reincarnation. Not there. Involution. Turn away from there. You know. So it's all very simple. We were God in the beginning, but totally asleep. We're not asleep anymore, but we've not awakened to our real self yet. So that's the way it is to be looked at simply. Baba sees everything very simply. He sees God in all of us. That's astounded me. He doesn't see them. Thank God he doesn't see the rest of me. When each day becomes a challenge to advance spiritually, then you will feel Baba's loving presence and you will know you are part of Baba's. You are part of Baba's new life. When we are not thinking about Baba, pure and simple, we are thinking negatively. Pure and simple. That means we're reacting. That's how Baba is imperative. But at the same time, Baba would say, think of me while doing your work, not instead of doing your work. Your struggle to overcome negative feelings, your struggle to overcome negative feelings gives Baba much energy for his work. It increases energy rather than uses up energy. I have found this to be true. That's why I wrote it down. Baba is the source of energy. When we are thinking about Baba, basically what that means is we are positive. Nothing depletes energy more than a negative mind. A negative mind means that consciousness is not aware of anything else except what's going on in the mind. And we know what goes on in the mind. Negative things, negative thoughts, limiting thoughts, not magnificent thoughts, not creative thoughts. When you're creative, you're thinking of Baba. You may not have thought of it in that way. If you're truly creative, bear in mind, most that looks so good and most that seems to be creativity is really copying. Creativeness means the heart. Awakened. When the heart is awakened, if you just say hello, it's creative. If you have not been trained in music or engineering or science or art or whatever, writing or literature, it doesn't make a difference. Just the way you walk is creative. Just the way you look at somebody is creative. The heart awakened is the source of creativity. If you happen to have a technique, fine. That technique will carry the heart's message in that form. To be unhappy is to be thinking of self. To think of self is to feel desires. To think of God is to be selfless. To think of Baba is to be desireless. With Baba, your spiritual progress is slow. Without Baba, your spiritual progress is impossible. I say, Baba, you know, my greatest fear is that I might let your precious gift of conviction slip from my grasp. And Baba replies, then put Baba first and think and act as someone would act if Baba came first in every thought and in every action. See, that's Baba being stern. Baba being stern. Baba, I might lose my grip on your Dhamman, which means everything. And Baba sternly says, then do what you're supposed to do. Put me first. Don't play around. This is no game for the faint-hearted and the weak. We all feel faint-hearted and weak. You want to settle for it? I bet not. Then do something about it. Don't stay treading water in the same spot. Put Baba first. Well, we went to New York after this whole business in the beginning. I went through a bunch of stuff in 1 year's time. Oh, the question was, tell us something about when you were with Baba. And the how I got to Baba, the experiencing that I went through on my way to Baba was simply that I was searching for meaning and I searched within myself and I began to experience some very beautiful feelings, and ultimately that made me find out that this, what I was discovering, was always in existence and I simply had come across it. But I had a great, great, great need. I used to walk the streets at night because my mind was always searching why this terrible thing, why that terrible thing, why a child gets run over, and on and on and on. I had to find answers. And by having this great need to find answers, I began to search within myself. I said, there's something wrong with the way I'm looking at life. I said, if life is here, it has to be okay. And if it looks bad to me, there's something wrong with me. So I really kept changing my thinking. I kept searching. But the search wasn't through reading this or reading that. It was a search within myself. And when I searched within myself, I said, I have to change. Because as I said here before, I think, I saw that in examining my thoughts and my motives and my actions, I found everything I did was selfish. So I didn't like that. I didn't like it in another person, so I said, well, I don't like it in me either. And I saw where I was really, what I really was like. I said, I want to change that. So I changed myself. I attempted to change myself. And in doing so, I began to have these really very worthwhile feelings within. So I, at that point, I thought that all growth came from just inside through your own effort. And that. But then when you began to read that there were other people who did this, that, and the other thing, or experienced this great state of awareness, obviously you'd be normally drawn to that. And that's what happened. So I read everything that came out of Vedanta and Ramakrishna in 1 year. And ultimately, someone in great appreciation for sharing what I felt was very meaningful as a gift, and a thank you, sent me a book in 1955, and the book was God Speaks. And I just looked at Baba, and I just intuitively felt that he was the one I was after. He was the source, he was the authority, even though I didn't understand, until I read Baba, I didn't understand the mechanics of spiritual level of growth. But the point was, the conviction was there right from the beginning without having met him. So that ultimately when I wrote to Baba and said and told him that I had his book and I wanted to meet him, I have your book, God Speaks, I want to meet you, and I don't think that's impossible. I sent a special delivery airmail to an address in the book that was Ahmednagar, King's Road, you know. And I got an airmail reply, and then Baba said that I had long-duration contact with him. And then, you know, they set that machinery, and that's when I started writing to him before he came in 56. Then when I went to New York in 56, my wife and I were both going, and we drove up to New York, and she was supposed to go shopping for a dress for her brother's engagement party, 56. And when we got to New York, you know, I think she had that leg of it. She drives me up in front of the Hotel Delmonico. She says, well, I'll go shopping for a dress, and you go ahead, and I'll come back here. So I went up, and all these people around, milling around in the corridors, and this, and this, and this. This is a very new experience in that sense. I think I had met Ivy Deuce. I went to Washington, and she invited us for lunch, and we had a lovely lunch with her. I met her husband. I don't remember everything. I think I went to the center. I really don't remember a whole lot. But anyway, I was up there, and I saw all these different groups of people, each having their own conversation. There was a separate room right outside where Baba was, you know. And Fred Winterfeld and Ella and John, you know, they all wanted to make sure that everyone's name was put down. They wanted to make sure everyone was taken to see Baba. And so my name was called. I went in to see Baba, and as I said, I always knew him. You know, that's the way. I just saw the face. The face sitting there. And I went up to him, and I embraced him. And this is, of course, I've never done this before. I embraced him and felt no separation between us, and I just said in his ear, I adore you, and that's all. Before that, I went through this tremendous turmoil mentally, trying to find out what I should feel, what I should think, what should be in the front of my mind when I'm going in God's presence. Well, it was impossible. I suppose what I was really doing was trying to strip away everything artificial about myself, and I couldn't find anything except artificial. And so I really felt lost in that I was not able to accomplish that which I knew was necessary to come to him with something that was worthy of coming to him with. There was nothing there except my mind. So I don't even remember. Baba smiled and hugged and this and that. I don't remember what happened. Next day I know I'm in the hall. Erich is on the doorman. Hall. So I'm sitting there so discontented. I was in the presence of God and I couldn't take advantage of that incredible opportunity. So my mind was just racing. And I just knew that if I could just see him, that God has to penetrate a stone. And I knew that. It's simply a question of seeing him. I knew that the way he would do anything would have to be by me seeing to be God in human form, perfection. Anything that he did. So consequently, what it required was that I see him, but I'm in the hall. So I stationed myself where the door cracked open. And the people, all these little conversations going on in the various groups, Every time I waited for that door to open, every time that door opened, I looked in, got a glimpse. And then Erich would close the door after the person came out. Well, this went on I don't know how many times, and finally the door opened, and Erich said, "Baba says, what do you want?" And then I said, "I must see him again." And so he said, "Baba says, come in." So then I come in, he sat me down by him. And I still was not able to strip away everything that was unworthy of this enormous meeting. Was not able to do it. And all I could say was, "Baba, I want to experience the truth," which sounded as empty as a steel pot. My heart was not there. That was the only thing. And Baba's response was like I had said something magnificent. Which was really his compassion. And he went like this, and even like this, you know, and hugged me, and he said, "I would experience the truth." And that he was helping me. And so whatever else went on there, I don't even remember. So, of course, eventually I got back out in the hall again, still not satisfied that I was able to meet God as he should be met. And then my wife came. And when she found out that I had gone in to see him, she was absolutely furious, without saying a word. "You went in?" And I couldn't believe that she expected me to wait while she bought a dress. I couldn't believe it. And I was absolutely enraged with it, without saying a word. And we were standing there like this, me feeling this enormous. I could not even envision such a total, complete lack of understanding anything on the part of a human being who would expect you to wait to see God. So with this unspoken whatever, I don't know what to say with this unspoken enormous doom, depression, anger, total unrelieved limitation having taken over my consciousness. We are both called in to see Baba. And as we walked through the door, Baba straightened up and he went like this. His head went back and forth like that. She sat in front of Baba and Baba reached up and pulled off her earrings. Someone said, "Good thing they weren't pierced." He knows that. If they were pierced, he'd have unscrewed them. He pulls them off and takes her hand, puts them in her hand, and rolls her fingers up. Great meeting there. And then he starts feeding her grapes. I figured he was taking some of her ignorance away. So, I don't remember what went on at that, other than that. I mean, that stood out in my mind. Again, I resorted down to, I was staggered by the fact that I was sitting in God's presence. So I was trying to see that. I was, you know, dealing with my own limitedness, trying to see this incredible, what was so unbelievable. Right there in front of me was God, in human form. So I was trying to cope with that. Of course, not successfully. And that's, to me, Terry said, my struggle to be a poet, I'm not a poet, but my struggle was that the only thing that made sense to me was I was trying to find the words worthy of addressing such a being. And so it ended up, I was trying to find words of praise. And that was so hard. I had the very deep need to be a poet, yes. And I struggled. And the whatever lack in the technique of poetry was there, my heart was in that. And so I didn't feel that Baba was wrong when he said such love letters, because they came from my heart. And it was a very hard struggle to write to him. Matter of fact, in one instance, when we came back in 1962, Baba said everyone was to write him a letter. And I didn't write my letter because I couldn't find the way to say what needed to be said. And so what you normally do in a situation, you postpone it. And that was an ongoing struggle all the time. So then finally a cable comes to Fred Nella, where's Henry's letter from Baba? So Fred Nella called me, where's your letter? So I knew I had to write the letter immediately. Good, bad, or indifferent, it had to be written. So my wife was in Williamsburg, and it was about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I sat down all by myself in my house. My wife is always in Williamsburg. delete this part. What? And it was thundering, raining, storming. It was kind of like to me like Baba's presence. And it just so simply came out in the form of some kind of a poem, where I was desperately pleading. I was laying before him my total incapacity, that's all I can remember, total incapacity. And I was calling him Magic Baba. You wave your wand. I have left, in my struggle to find you, I have left everything. And I am now, I have not found you. And I am now naked and alone. Or something like that. So, but I got it done. And I mailed it with an enormous sense of relief. So, again, I did appreciate what I was dealing with. And that appreciation of what I was dealing with, God in human form, made me far more aware of how small I was in comparison. But so I held on to dear life to those things Baba said in the first discourse. I am the gauge against which you can measure what you are and what you can become, or words to that effect. And I believe that. Well, I can only say that I've had, ever since childhood, a very unpleasant life. But after Baba, it became better and better and better and better. I look forward to whatever the rest is as being better and better, because I'm more aware through him. And I figured I will become better at being able to remember him, obey him, love him, and surrender to his will. Jai Baba. The ego still wants what the illusion can give. The ego is alive until it starves from lack of attention. It is the final thread that keeps us tied to illusion. And obedience to Baba is the only means to starve the ego. Your goal with Baba's help is to make your life itself Baba's message of love and truth to others. Now that sentence sums it all up. You can't preach. You really don't get anything out of memorizing everything Baba has ever said or every single incident of his life. Those things are only useful if it makes you make your life itself Baba's message of love and truth to others. That's the new humanity. Would Baba tell us this if we were not capable of this? And why are we capable? Because we're convinced about him. Now, you heard Bao yesterday, he's really doing it all. All you have to do is put your mind there, that useless thing that we carry around with us all the time, that does nothing but complain. 99.9999999% of everything that goes on, of the activity of the mind, is negative. That slight bit of consciousness that you use to wash the dishes is positive. I really love washing dishes because it's so simple. I get such a relief from not having to think. Mankind has changed the face of the world, but mankind has not changed within. To change, each individual soul must struggle in illusion and suffer the consequences of this struggle until he comes to know that all suffering is outside himself. When he does this, then and only then can he attempt to look inside himself for relief from suffering. At that moment, the God-man graces the individual with a drop of his infinite love. And as the individual continues to struggle in illusion with his drop of love, his real journey turns within towards his real goal, which later he will consciously know is to make his life itself God's message of love and truth to others. So remember, it is always easy and exciting to change the world, or to change this thing or that thing, or this person or that person, or this idea or that idea. But remember, even so, you have changed nothing if you have not changed within. And if you have not accepted Baba as your one and only God, and your one and only way to join your God for eternity.